Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
All right, Kelly. So here's the question that I'll start off with tonight. What do you grade, or how do you grade tonight's kind of final go home hype for WrestleMania Backlash on Sunday? There is a pay per view on Sunday, Kelly. What do you think?
You know, when the show that you're watching, the biggest thing they have to offer is a six man. It's an uphill battle.
Yeah. That's a nice way to put it. Yes.
Yeah, they've got the women, and I thought that they did a pretty decent job there. But there's only so much you can do to hype a big-time match that really, really, really should be on weekly TV. And the reason it's not is because you've got Roman in a very, very long championship, and you don't want to just – he's at the point where – let alone weekly TV, you've got to find a big, big, big opponent just to give him a match on pay-per-view. So I can dig the fact that they're dragging this out a little bit. I think based on that, they did a perfectly decent, perfectly, I hate to say perfunctory because it sounds mean because it is. They did okay. It was very much a go-home show. Only heels won tonight. And heels got the better of just about every segment. And I think they did as well as they could, knowing that this show, it doesn't have that big Roman match to offer.
I'm with you. I think they, you know, a lot of what they did tonight was, I'll classify it as paint by numbers, but that's not always bad, you know? I didn't think they were overly cute. I didn't think they were overly, like, they didn't get too, you know, too specialized with stories or whatever. It's pretty, like, straightforward stuff. But, you know, at the same time, it's just not going to be, like, this major newsworthy pay-per-view event. You don't have a world title match, you know, on the men's side of things. I don't believe we're getting like a Raw Women's Championship match. So you've got the Charlotte Rousey thing. And I think, you know, they paid attention tonight where they needed to kind of just keep what they are going to do on Sunday relatively hot. And then that's it. You know, then they kind of rode off into the sunset. So I give it like a, I think if I'm grading it, I'll give it like a B-, you know, but grading on the curve of it's just not a card collectively that I think has come together all that nice given a variety of different circumstances.
You know, we've joked a lot, all of us, about the fact that they named this WrestleMania Backlash. It's like you don't have to name it that to make it important, but maybe they do. Like, well, we can now we see what they see as well. So I don't know. It's not the previous. I mean, when Backlash started, it was Attitude Era, and man, oh man, I think back to some of those Backlash shows that were 4 weeks after WrestleMania has no right to be as good as a show as some of those were. But
I think the Backlash, the WrestleMania rematch for, I think the first one, and somebody out there will correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe it, you know, you got the Rock Austin rematch. So it's like, yeah, you're not swimming in the same pool, you know, here 20 something years later.
Yeah. The idea of monthly pay-per-views is something that I can get why they did it. They wanted to do it. Vince, it was widely reported in 91 or 2, I think it was 91 when they did this Tuesday in Texas. He was genuinely considering weekly pay-per-views. And that is – That is like just crazy, crazy excessive to me. Although that's what streaming services are largely. So you can't say he was totally wrong. But yeah, 12 pay-per-views. I just don't know that they or any company can sustain this right now. And it seems like AEW in a lot of ways has not learned from the excesses of WWE, but they have learned from it in terms of how many pay-per-views should you do before you've got diminishing returns? I love the 4 pay-per-view format. Yes, I grew up with it, so nostalgia, whatever. But I just feel like that's the right amount of big shows.
Yeah. And this show, WrestleMania Backlash, is just it's got some issues because of that. I mean, I think once you get to Sunday, it can be a fine show. Like, I think there's enough there where, you know, it could be an entertaining watch and there can be some good matches, but you just don't have like the significant meaning behind it. And even though they fed some feuds tonight, you know, I think they heated Ronda versus Charlotte up a little bit and it needed it significantly, I think. And then, I mean, you had the angle at the end for the 6-man, even though the match doesn't have a lot riding on it at this point. So that's, you know, I'm sure we'll get some pushback on that, and I'm curious to hear other opinions too, as to, you know, the nature of tonight's go home show. But we'll open up the phone lines here in a minute. Let's take a quick pause, set the table for the show. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post show covering the May 6th, 2022 edition of WWE SmackDown. I'm PW Torch assistant editor Zach Hader, and once again filling in for Wade. He'll be on the VIP side of things, like I always say here on the show, on the Wade Keller hotline, pwtorch.com/govip, if you want to check that out. And not only that, but a host of other podcasts, all the back issues of the Torch newsletter, ad-free version of the website, and so on and so on and so on. Well worth your hard-earned dollars. Give us a shot. pwtorch.com/govip. You can check out all the different shows that you can get at that location. You can also find us on Patreon as well, and sign up for VIP membership there. The other voice you hear is Kelly Wells from PWT Talks NXT on the PW Torch Daily Cast. Kelly, a blast to talk to you again, man. How's it going?
We always have a good time. It's going well. Yeah, it's been, oh boy, I almost got into real life, and you don't want part of that. But, you know, it's nice to be talking wrestling. Let's say that much. Yeah, I just had heard so much about WWE really coming out of WrestleMania fairly strong. I did see that Raw after WrestleMania, which I did not think was strong, but people have been saying that there was some other good TV. So I jumped on today and, you know, mixed bag, and this pay-per-view coming, mixed bag. But yeah, it's nice to break this down and see that they haven't totally lost their minds.
No, they haven't. And I thought tonight, you know, there's some highs, some good stuff, and then some some confusing things too. But we'll get into it all. We'll break it all down. The phone lines are open, folks. 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. If you're on hold there listening to us and you want to get on the air, make sure you press 1 to let me know. It kind of raises your hand here in the host queue so I can see who's there. We do have quite a few in line tonight, so we'll work to get everybody in. So keep that in mind as you guys go ahead and make your points as far as what you thought of the show tonight. You can also email us if we don't get a chance to get to you, wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. That's wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. We'll look into that the email bag as the night goes on and see what's what as far as that goes. With that said, Kelly, if you're ready to rock, man, we'll go ahead and take the first call.
Let's do this thing.
Okay, 615, you are going to kick us off. 615, state your name and where you're calling from.
Zach and Kelly, good to talk to y'all. Sean, VFP from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Zach, you're feeling better, man. Good to hear it, man. How are you guys?
Yes, feeling better. Voice is back. Doing good. Great to hear from you, Sean. Hopefully you're doing well, too. What'd you think of the show?
Yeah, doing really well. I'm blessed for sure. I want to get into the hype was good as far as the big matches. I will say that it was good. It was solid. I have to talk about it. I know you guys are probably wanting to talk about it too. This chapter 5 of Lacey Evans. I thought it was really, really bad tonight. Really, really bad. It was, to me, I didn't think, how do I say this? I didn't feel it was, I felt it was heavy-handed at first, and they've gone on, and then they bring Samantha Irvin out there and say, Lacey just wants your respect and your applause, and for her just to come out and then just to, like, I thought it was really actually kind of sick in some ways. I think this is going to really bad at the end. It's going to start maybe okay. I thought it was just kind of really, really bad. What did you guys think about that whole thing tonight?
I was wondering how long it would take for this topic to come up because, honestly, my reaction was pretty much in lockstep with you, Sean. So, Kelly, I'm looking forward to hearing your response here. And the videos have been what they've been, and they have been kind of laying it on thick, telling her story. On the surface, I don't have a problem with that because I think it's good to tell the stories of these characters.
Yeah.
But you have to like check yourself though, like and make sure your ducks are in a row. That she should not have been introduced with the, hey, Lacey has decided that she wants everybody to give her an applause when she comes out so that she gets the respect that she deserves. Like, that is totally inconsistent with the positioning that she's had in those videos. That's a babyface presentation as far as the videos go. Like, telling her story. It's a story that they want you to feel sympathetic about and connect with and just connect with her on a personal level. And that's there, and then to then make that first appearance and have that be the messaging of, hey, cheer, and like because I want you to respect me, like that's complete heel. So it's already a disconnected act, and I thought it was a very much a miss as well. We may have an on-site correspondent a little bit later, so I'm curious to ask them what the true reaction in the building was for Lacey. But I thought that was a miss too, if for no other reason that it just didn't jive with those videos. Kelly, what did you think?
Lacey seems like a troll job to me. I really, really think that they're trolling us with Lacey. I think they always have been. I don't actually, but it just, it's mystifying. I've seen most of her career because I cover NXT and we saw all that there. The only thing that has stayed consistent for Lacey throughout her entire time in this company is I don't know what they want me to think about her. They consistently have her as a heel with some positives, like significant positives, or a face with some significant negatives. In this case, seemingly a total lack of self-respect, self-esteem. I thought that tonight's segment of hers was, I don't think any of it's false. I just think she's not that great on a mic. So like I'm into her story. I feel for her, but she's not great on a mic. So it's really, really hard to make that, like, this is not exactly Mankind sitting with Jim Ross because she just doesn't have that kind of cachet on the mic. But the story can work. But then to have Samantha Irvin do what she did, I was stunned. When they went to Samantha Irvin and she said what she said, I truly thought they were trying heel here, but maybe, and my immediate thought was, did they fail in the presentation leading up to this, or are they failing right now? Because one way or the other, people have got to be thinking, what am I supposed to think of her? I still don't know, and I hate to say this too, but I don't know that Lacey is worth the trouble.
Yeah. Well, well said. And here's the thing. It's like, my thought was like, oh God, like did Samantha Irvin, did she mess up? Did she say the wrong lines, or did she forget and ad-libbed and totally missed? Because it was that disconnected from the story where it's like that doesn't even for WWE standards in terms of like, you know, straightening their tie, like this was a drastic, you know, an egregious miss. And so it'll be interesting to see how or if they try to pivot. And if we do get our onsite correspondent, it'll be interesting to see like what the audience thought in the building, because it's harder and harder these days to tell what the genuine reaction is. Kelly, let me ask you this while we're on the topic of Lacey Evans. You said, hey, you know, I'm just not sure, you know, she's worth it. In that video, the final one before she made her appearance, she kind of tossed a mission statement out there like, hey, my goal is to be SmackDown Women's Champion. You know, based on what you've seen with this kind of reintroduction and her history, is that a reasonable place to expect her to land on SmackDown, whether Charlotte walked out with the title or Ronda Rousey walked out with the title on Sunday? I mean, is Lacey Evans right now somebody you can put into that upper tier?
Zach, I want so badly to pitch a perfect game in the World Series, but it's not going to happen. Like, it's a cool dream, but you know, Don Larson did it, and I'm not going to. I'm no Don Larson, and he wasn't even that great. He just happened to do it at the right time. It's clear, based on the messaging, based on the script here, that somebody wants that to be the case. And it's clear that they've always wanted that to be the case. I just, mm-hmm. I continue to be baffled in, we've seen every part of her act has been done better by somebody else in the NXT era. Whether face or heel or the look or the attitude, there's something there. There really, really is. But I don't think they've done any favors to her with the, I don't want to say start-stop pushes, but changing pushes, changing who she is, changing how she's supposed to be presented. I just don't think, I don't know how this version of her, where we don't know who she's supposed to be, it's supposed to be a threat to the championship. I thought that line was out of nowhere and it was a little early. And in a segment that was already way disconnected, it was even more so.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that. I think there can be something there. I think Lacey Evans, she carries herself as a star. She presents as somebody who's confident, maybe more so than she should be given her experience and her talent level. But, you know, sometimes walking the walk is important. The thing of it is, it's like you totally threw a bucket of cold water on everything that you started with her again tonight with that one line. I mean, had you had that video and then next week, you know, Lacey Evans runs out to the rescue of some babyface or something like that, and you know, she just, it's kind of like this no nonsense babyface, you know, I think that you could build a groundswell there of momentum that can get her to a place where she can succeed. She doesn't have to talk as much in that type of position. She can just go out there, be athletic, do what she does best a lot and lean into that and not worry about it. But now you've confused the crowd. You've kind of have us having this conversation rather than, hey, Lacey Evans look good out there. Like, you know, can she get, how much can she get cheered? You know, it totally set her back. Kind of a disaster of a presentation tonight for her re-debut into the company. Sean, I'll throw back to you to comment on anything we brought up, or if you want to pivot away from Lacey Evans, that's fine too.
Well, no, I kind of wanted to just go back, piggy off of what you guys were saying as far as, like, the start and stop. Like, they were almost trying to forget about what she's already done in WWE on the main roster. Like, they just try to make you – they try to – Vince thinks you don't remember that. And we do. We know all the stuff she's done in WWE. She was a horrible babyface just a couple years ago. And we're trying – they just try to make us forget. And we don't forget, Vince. We're not dumb. Us fans that actually love WWE and watch WWE – we know what she's done, and she wasn't very good. I mean, she's okay. I mean, she's not bad. She's not good. And to think – and for me, 1 or 2 weeks now, like, looking back on it, tops would have been good for her to reintroduce, like, the story behind her, which is fine. I'm with you, Kelly. Like, I'm behind her story in a vacuum. But they just it's just too heavy-handed now. It's just gone – and then I don't know where they're going, heel, face, whatever. So it was bad all around. But the – I wanted to pivot to kind of going back to Gunther again. Like, I definitely think – I mean, I know it's just a week – you know, Drew Gulak just – I mean, I just kind of laugh whenever he's on TV now. I just kind of get a kick out of it. And now today, now he was the quote-unquote jobber for Gunther. But, I mean, I like – again, I like what they're doing with Gunther. I think they're showing his power moves very, very well. And I kind of wanted to talk because Kelly hasn't gotten to talk to it. So I haven't heard him talking a little bit about him as far as, you know, where do you guys both think, do you think Vince will push him to a WWE championship level? Like, where do you think his ceiling will be? And just overall, what do you think they've still continued to do this far with his push?
Kelly, go ahead.
So Gunther doesn't look like Vince's idea of what a champion should look like, but he is what a champion should look like. Let me just get that out of the way. People say that he watches the other shows. And then we get lots and lots of proof that maybe he doesn't. And I don't know. He was brought there for a reason. And I think absolutely that he can be championship worthy, but Vince is risk averse, and he is especially risk averse when it comes to guys who don't look like he thinks they should look. I don't know yet if, because Gunther is kind of this middle ground where he's super overpowering and in this way that will catch Vince's eye, but he's built in this sort of leaner, more rangy way that might make it an uphill battle for him in the eyes of Vince. I don't know. He got a squash match on TV. That's always a very, very good thing. And multiple squash matches on TV, which is a really good thing. My instinct is to say Vince doesn't think of him as a world championship level guy, but Gunther might make him because he's that good. I dug what he did. Also on Drew Gulak, I'll just get this out of the way. And this is, I'm going to get real weird for a second. I have done, when I was 12, I made up a pro wrestling league with dice and my own stats and everything like that. And guys like Gulak, who were just comedy, always losers, they always had a place on my roster. So I don't know if this Gulak thing is going to get to a bigger push, but it could keep him a job for pretty much ever, because I can say that writers love writing for guys like that. But to finish with Gunther, I just think that I know that he's able to get to that level, and certainly he can have matches at that level. And he's on the right show to be put in that position, but the glass ceiling on SmackDown is going to be very, very hard to shatter.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm with you. Like I think he can be like a player on SmackDown or Raw for sure. The bottom line is he's not going to be a guy that Vince McMahon, straps the company to, and goes with as like the lead champion on one of the shows. I don't think that's in the cards, but I do think he's somebody that is being positioned right now to be in some big matches throughout the next 18 months. You know, I think he's somebody that can be a credible challenger, or is being groomed to be a credible challenger to maybe a Drew McIntyre with the WWE Championship, or a Cody Rhodes if he gets his hands on the title, or really any babyface for that matter that may have the championship at some point. I think he's being positioned in a way that makes him a credible threat to that title. Probably doesn't win it, probably just is in that role for a while, and then, hey, you never know what happens after that. But I think that's a pretty good spot to be, though. Like, if you're him and you're being told, hey, okay, you're going to be this upper mid card, and you're going to be in main events for the world title, and you're going to wrestle these guys. Like, he's nodding along, going, hey, that sounds good to me. We ran a poll on Twitter today, just a few hours ago. So only 162 votes in, or an hour ago actually, and it's, who would you rather have on your pro wrestling roster, Gunther or Wardlow? Any idea, Kelly, or want to venture a guess as to how the votes are shaping up?
Oh, these, you know, when it's across companies, you might as well be asking, which company do you watch more? So, like, I want to say that's the bigger thing. Oh, man, can I have both? I think they're both extremely valuable. For me, the answer would be Gunther, because he can have the better match right now. But Wardlow is your awesome, awesome piece for the long term. I think that I would guess that the voters leaned Wardlow.
I agree. Wardlow, yeah.
They did. They leaned Wardlow, but only at a 51-49 clip.
Oh,
as of right
okay.
now. So it's
okay.
essentially it's neck and neck, which I found pretty interesting. So only 162 votes in. So we'll see. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I would want both. I'm with Kelly. I mean, I would take both. But if I had to take either, I mean, I don't know. They're both so good. They're both so talented. I mean, obviously Wardlow can talk because he's just got more of the, you know, obviously can speak better English. But I mean, Gunther is just so freaking talented, so either way, they're fine. But the last point I wanted to bring up real quick was going back to, I mean, it was kind of just a lame, kind of boring segment with Madcap and Happy going back and forth. I mean, Kelly, I haven't heard your opinion. Zach, you can obviously, you know, say kind of what you think as well, of course. But Madcap had to change his character. This character is just dumb. It's low brow. It's just not going anywhere. You know, he'll beat Corbin Sunday, but I don't know where they can't. There's no upward trajectory for Madcap. These lame jokes and the lame stuff he says. I mean, he's so talented. He's got the ability in the ring. I think he can talk really well. I just don't like the crap they're giving him on the mic to say, and I just don't know where they might go with him after this. And Kelly, kind of, you know, just because I haven't heard you talk about Madcap here in a little while, but. You know, what you think of him, where they're going with that. Zach, I want to hear your fireside chat this weekend. Like I said, you and Tyler, again, are doing a great job at that. I appreciate what you're doing there. And I wanted to give a shout-out real quick to Alex. I know him and Patrick were on the show, doing the show last week, and I appreciate the kind words he threw out to me. That means a lot. I appreciate all you guys at Torch. And Kelly, it's good to talk to you, man. Zach, you're the best. Thank you guys for taking my call, as always.
Hey, thanks for making it, Sean. Really appreciate you calling in. Always good to chat. And hopefully you listen to Fireside Chat. I appreciate that. Yeah, we went up yesterday on the YouTube channel. If you haven't checked out PW Torch on YouTube, please do. Updated regularly and daily with new content. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. And Sean, appreciate the kind words. Kelly, Madcap Moss. What's his ceiling? Tonight he made me chuckle a couple times with some of those lines. I thought they were cheesy, juvenile, all of the above, but I did chuckle at him. You know, so from a, hey, in that moment, okay, that was pretty funny, thumbs up. But long term, though, like, those chuckles are almost a bad thing, because it's really painting that character into a box that it's going to be hard for him to climb out of, whether he wins on Sunday or not. I just don't see this. It's not a main event act at this point. If Madcap Moss lands in like anywhere near Sami Zayn territory, that'll be a big win for him, given where things are at right now. But what do you think?
Hey, Minnesota represent. Thank you, Madcap. Let's get to the negatives. So on any given night, I am probably watching stand-up comedy. 4 or 5 nights a week, that's what I'm doing. In an hour, that's probably 2 hours, that's probably what I'll be doing. Which means I'm personally offended by the act of Madcap Moss. it's not that bad, but it's as you said, there's a real hard cap on how high this can go. It seems like they kind of want to have it both ways. They want him to be Santino Marella, but they also want him to be early 2000s Chris Jericho. You can only be one. You can get away with some yuck yucks, but only so much. The dad joke act specifically, I think, is extremely limiting. I think there's a real hard cap on that. This segment for me was not great, but Baron Corbin sucks the life out of me, like, completely. So that's part of it. I want this to work for Madcap because I feel like I see him working hard. I feel like I see him responding to adversity and running with whatever ball he's given, because he's been asked to do a lot of different types of roles from NXT to now. I've actually seen him do some great work in NXT live events. Went to a show with Wade a couple of years ago, and we both walked away being a little bit impressed and like kind of getting what they were seeing with Riddick Moss. I don't know. He'd be given the amount of spotlight that he's been given so far, but I like that WWE is trying to give the spotlight to somebody new, even if they're wrong. I can live with that because they are so, I just want to play with my usual toys. I'm not excited about the match, but I'm excited to see how the match plays out, how it's booked, and how both guys are booked coming out of it, if that makes sense. So maybe I am excited about the match, but not for the usual reasons.
Never the root. Yeah. I mean, that's well said. It's well said. It's just, if he's going to be even a couple steps higher on the card, I'm not talking like in your main event. I'm talking like just, you know, a little bit higher up. He has to find some sort of, you know, credibility and like competitive nature to the act, because right now he's just a performer out there. And yep, there's some laughs, and yeah, you kind of roll your eyes, but it's very one note. And, you know, in its current form, I just don't see it as anything better than the 24/7 division at this point. Maybe, you know, you never know, but he's going to have some tweaks to that act in order to overcome what's going on right now. As much as it may generate some smiles and some laughs, it's not sustainable, period. I think you hit the nail on the head on that. All right, let's get back to our callers because they continue to line up. So this is great. We'll go to 410. Reverend Keith, this is you. Thanks for calling. What did you think of SmackDown tonight?
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for taking my call. I am very happy that others are starting to see the direction in which this Lacey Evans saga is going. I had mentioned this almost 2 Sundays ago on Wrestling Night in America with Greg and his co-host. I could see where WWE was going, and now it's starting to come to light. You know, I was surprised that, you know, Samantha Irvin said what she said in the middle of the ring, because it was very heelish. And as Sean alluded to, you know, WWE thinks that their fans have selective retention, and we are very intelligent. So to just try to put this over on the fans is nonsense to me. Sure, I'm sorry to hear about her struggles. As I said on Wrestling Night in America, I'm sure if you polled each and every woman in the back, all of them have struggled. Maybe not as much as Lacey Evans, but at the same token, it's hard to effectively build a babyface story around a character which you have already turned twice prior to her having the baby. So this is those were my feelings from the beginning, and I thought you guys summed up everything very well, so I don't want to linger on that. I'm going to mention a couple other points, and then I'm going to hop off and let you get to the callers, and hopefully you'll have an on-site correspondent, because I saw online where WWE toyed with having the announcers come through the loudspeakers during the commercial breaks, and I think that'll be very effective at winning more fans over, especially your novice wrestling fans who are so used to hearing Cole and McAfee, my boy Byron, Corey, and Smith on Raw. You know, so it'd be good for them to get used to hearing commentary at these live TV tapings during the commercial break. So they worked on that tonight. I just want to say this. I like how they've effectively built to this I Quit match. Now, my thoughts are that Ronda will win, but I'm wondering if they're going to have a third match, because the next premium live event is Hell in a Cell. And I know sometimes they like to culminate feuds there. So, what are your thoughts on them ending the feud Sunday at Backlash or continuing it? And as you said, you know, all of the heels went over, so we expect the babies to reign supreme, such as Sasha and Naomi on Sunday. Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. I'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks for making it, Keith. Good points. Hope you have a good weekend. Let's talk Charlotte and Ronda Rousey. We haven't gotten to this quite yet in terms of like in-depth stuff, Kelly. So tonight you had Charlotte in the ring picking on poor Aaliyah. Ronda essentially runs out. They brawl. Have a pretty good brawl, a pretty intense brawl. And I if you just look at that in a vacuum, I liked what they did there. I think it put some heat on the match. I think it puts some, heat on Ronda, not bad heat, but just kind of intrigue. I think you felt that they both are very competitive with one another, don't like each other. I thought that it struck the right tone as far as all of that stuff went. The hiccup that I don't think they overcame tonight was I just don't know that there's this passionate interest in seeing Ronda Rousey beat Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown title. Like, I think that, you've got this little feud going there, but to me, the audience reaction is not there for like this culmination of the story where Ronda finally, gets Charlotte to say I quit and she wins the SmackDown Women's Championship. Like, I just don't, I'm not feeling that. And I didn't feel it going into WrestleMania. I don't feel it now. And I think that's hurting kind of the aura of the feud, because they're in a place where they could pull the trigger on a pretty significant title change this weekend. And it just, I don't want to say it'll fall on deaf ears, but I just don't think that there's a groundswell of momentum that's like culminating at the right time for Ronda Rousey to become champion. So, check the boxes, but I think they've got a fundamental problem with this feud that has not been fixed since WrestleMania until now. Your take.
I feel almost exactly the same, and I think the issue is Ronda's ability to connect as a babyface. I just don't think that's natural for her. I don't think that's where she wants to. I don't know if it's whether or not what she wants to be, but that said, it's just not where she connects. I feel the same as you in saying all the pieces are there. Like, they're delivering these storyline beats that make it seem like like, you know how they're trying to get you to want to see Ronda beat Charlotte. And I actually agree totally with Keith in saying that this could go to a third month and be in the cell. And part of that reasoning is because I think there'll be a men's and a women's cell match. And I don't know what other women would be in that match right now. Like no offense to the workers, but the storyline's not there for that to happen in 4.5, 5 weeks, whatever it is. I think it makes sense to me from a storytelling standpoint for Charlotte to win the wrestling match, Ronda Rousey to win the submission match, and then both of them agree, hey, I got you in my world. Let's go to another world, a third world that doesn't belong to either of us, and go into the cage, into Hell in a Cell. It makes sense to me for them to go there. I just don't know that not for lack of trying, but the feud just doesn't feel like, if they hadn't put the money into Ronda Rousey, I don't know that they would go into a third pay-per-view, but they have, and I do think they will.
I do too. I mean, I think, and honestly, like WWE misses a lot with the gimmick pay-per-views because they rush around at the very end or with a month to go or 3 weeks to go to get something ready to take place in a match that should be saved for something more significant or a feud that's more significant. What's funny about this is I think they have, like, again, the boxes are checked and they're in a good place from that perspective to, like, run this final Hell in a Cell match, Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. And, you know, even though they've told the long-term story there, it's not hot enough. I think it's going to happen. I agree. But it's ironic that they're in that position. Anything else, Kelly, as far as Charlotte and Ronda go tonight? I mean, I think it was very much a paint-by-numbers segment for both women. You kind of had Charlotte out there doing her thing on the microphone. Ronda Rousey didn't talk. You didn't get that go-home babyface promo from her, which I think would have been important and you know, logical for her to do. But to your point, she hasn't shown that she's capable of doing that in an effective way. So knowing that, probably better to keep her off the stick. So, again, decent night. I don't know that it changed anything as far as the momentum of the feud goes. But any other final thoughts on Rousey, Flair?
You kind of took the words out of my mouth. Like, it would be lovely to see Ronda give that awesome babyface promo. But when you turn her loose on the mic, she goes badass in a way that is not relatable or likable. I mean, likable is your mileage may vary, but certainly not relatable. She just doesn't nail that. And I don't think she knows how, because she's a freak of nature. I mean that in a very good way. It's really impressive what she's able to do, but it's really hard for somebody who is legitimately that to ground themselves and to, I mean, the babyface above all other things really does seem to need to seem like they're climbing a hill, and she's never climbed a hill before. Like, she's at the top of the hill, and it's really hard for her to come off any other way in promos. So yeah, less is more for her on the mic, and that's just going to continue to kind of hurt whatever feud she's in.
Yeah. The thing with her too is, this is what, when I said at the top of the show, like, hey, WrestleMania Backlash, not necessarily a well-constructed card. I don't think you have feuds in the right place, but there's some matches on there that I think could absolutely deliver and be very good matches. And this is one of them, you know, because I think, you know, once you just get it in the ring, like, you've got two very talented athletic women that know what they're doing. And Ronda Rousey always has kind of a rugged style that feels like a fight. I think that'll play well in the I Quit, you know, stipulation world. So, come Sunday night, like, this could be a match that we're talking about. It's just nobody's talking about it right now, and that's an issue. Back to the phones we go. 443, you are up. Thanks for holding. 443, state your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Hey, it's Kyle from Baltimore. How you doing?
Hey, Kyle. Great to hear from you, man. What'd you think of SmackDown?
I thought it sucked, honestly. This is a bad show for me. I didn't care much about it. This is supposed to be the hype for Backlash, and this is what they do. They have Roman Reigns, who is a double champion, being a meaningless tag team match. And it's just, I can care less about Roman Reigns. Ever since, people wanted him badly to be a heel. So he's a heel now, and he's won both championships. He is Becky Lynch 2.0. Becky Lynch is entertaining. Now, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I'm more of a Becky fan. I care less about Roman Reigns. I always can't care less about Reigns. Like even when he was a babyface, I didn't even care much about him. I was like, okay, whatever, he's a good wrestler. I don't really care about him in promos, but he's whatever. But as of late, anyway, with his character, he's been undefeated all year long. If people crapped all over Becky Lynch, they should crapped all over Roman Reigns. It's not a Becky Lynch issue. It's a Roman Reigns issue as well, because it's so – What is he plan on doing? Have him be champion till Cody Rhodes or Drew McIntyre? And by the way, I don't see Cody Rhodes as a tough star. But that said, that's on Monday. I don't really see what – I think Cody Rhodes is all hype, by the way. That's a whole different conversation. But anyway, so with me, it's just Roman Reigns is just acknowledge me this, acknowledge me that. Tribal chief this, tribal chief that, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't interest me. It doesn't excite me. Him coming out, not wrestling, and just be there for 5 seconds, and that's it. What are they going to do with Roman Reigns as double champion headed into the summer? Even if he's going to stay, I think he should lose both championships at this point and start over, because it's not working, at least for me.
Yeah, oh, great points. Well said. So Kelly, Roman Reigns wins the Undisputed title at WrestleMania. Big time match, big time build, long term story. To Kyle's point about that side of it, I agree. Like, I think that they really missed coming out of WrestleMania with something ready to go for Reigns to do as double champion, or like, okay, hey, he won the Undisputed title. But, you know, he's still only going to defend the one. And so, hey, he releases one, and you can build a story around that other championship on the other brand. There was so many different ways you can go. And what they've ended up doing is just they just kind of have sat on it. Like, he's not having a championship match. They haven't defined what the Undisputed title means and what's the future of both of those belts. They really just kind of had a win and then – hey, story ends, we'll pick it up later. I don't know if that's because there was an injury at play or what, but when you crown an Undisputed champion, like, that's one of the biggest things you can do, and you need to lean into that more than WWE has at this point. So that's where I'm going to agree with Kyle. I'll disagree, Kyle, on the fact that I still think Roman is clearly, you know, the top star on either show. I mean, you look just – if you just listen to the audience tonight and see and hear and watch them when he walks out, there's just big star aura about him. And so I think he's gonna get attention because of that. And so whether it's Drew McIntyre that's up next, or whether it's Cody down the road, or whether they're just holding off on stuff until they can get something together with The Rock. Like, I still think he has to absolutely be the focus. I would have put the focus on those titles coming out of WrestleMania. But Kelly, where are you at with Roman Reigns? He's had a quiet month, but you know, he's still, I think, a top back on the show.
Yeah, he's got the gravitas that he's supposed to have, but I feel very much like you do in that I'm surprised there was nothing for him here. It seems like it's a relatively recent issue for this company to not have something for the champion coming out of WrestleMania. Again, jumping back to Attitude Era and a little bit later, it seemed like that person was all – they were ready-made. They had that – and a lot of times it was just a rematch. And so in fairness, they don't have Brock. I don't know what his status is, but we all seem to know that they don't have him. So at least not in the short term. So they can't just do this rematch. I'm not mad about an occasional six man or anything like that on pay-per-view. On the other hand, I wonder if that's worse and it calls more attention to the problem than not having him on the card at all. I wonder if you'd actually benefit more from having him say, I'm skipping this, and he's there and he does something on the show, but he doesn't wrestle. And it's not in some kind of meaningless triple threat. I wonder which is actually worse to have happen. I do like the act. I still think it's working. I certainly don't think they need to scrub it and start over. But if they don't have anything in the short term, it's tough. And you can see the building blocks with Shinsuke Nakamura. But Shinsuke is going to be what Cesaro was. They're going to really, really, really heat him up for a month or 2 months time in order to have him have a good match with Roman and then move on to something else. That's all he's going to be. He's going to be transitional, but I'm not mad about that either, because that's what they need if they're going to get as much as they can out of this Roman reign, which seems like what they're going to be. So yeah, I think they continue to do okay with the Roman stuff, but if they don't have the writers who are able to make this grow and change in a meaningful way on a week-to-week basis, then they have to change the title. I know what they want, but they need writers who can make this interesting without changing the championship.
Yeah, Roman Reigns, you know, I think a feud with somebody like Shinsuke Nakamura is absolutely fine for this type of pay-per-view, like, for sure. You know, Reigns has been in there and has had challengers like this before. Cesaro, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, Jey Uso. Like, you know, he hasn't strictly worked with, like, top-tier guys. He's worked with other lower card acts and has elevated them up to his level or near his level. So I think Shinsuke Nakamura would have made a heck of a lot of sense, and I think it would have at least, like, would have been, like, the lowest, the smallest thing you could have done for Reigns as Undisputed Champion, just to make – to continue that story and to keep that relevant. They went a different direction. We'll see what the payoff is. It looks like a feud with Drew McIntyre is in the cards now at some point, like for the summer, maybe at the big Money in the Bank stadium show is where they pull the trigger on that. I don't know. But they do have to do right by him if they're going to keep the story going. And some months that's going to mean lesser challengers, but I think that's okay. And Nakamura seems like somebody that would have fit that bill. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, Kyle, if you're hoping for a smaller dose of Roman Reigns, I don't think you're going to get that, my friend.
I don't know. I just feel like, I mean, here's the thing. When Becky was a double champion, people crapped all over it. So, and I think if and Reigns doesn't even show up on Raw, that makes it even worse. I feel like he's being Brock Lesnar and not show up on Raw, but he'll show up on SmackDown. Like, they're making it saying that we really just care about the Universal Championship. We don't really care about the WWE Champion, so we're not going to have him on the show. So feel bad for people like over there for Rollins or Lashley or whatever, or even Rose even, to be even considered to be contenders if he's not even on the show. So that's what they also need to change as well if they continue with him. They must have him as both champions. So, yeah, I guess it's either I guess it's like pick your poison. He's either going to be overexposed to be on both shows, or since they are SmackDown and never show up on Raw, it's such a stupid thing that people crabbed for crabbed over on Becky doing it, but with Roman Reigns, I think it's even worse than Becky. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about really was about the women with first Sasha and Naomi for next week, and why is that match happening next week and not on the pay-per-view itself? I don't know why. So it makes the show at least something interesting, at least for me to be interested in. I'm kind of conflicted because part of me wants them to retain, but part of me wants them to have them to lose, have Sasha go after the women's champion, because that's where she really actually both learned really both Sasha and Naomi should be contenders for the women's championship itself. They're not really a tag team, even though they have great chemistry. They're really singles wrestlers. So both of them should go after the championship because Ronda, Charlotte, he worked for me. Lacey Evans, I could care less about what she has to say. It's like, and I like Raquel, and she's going to be a good wrestler. Her potentially feuding with Sasha, whatever. If the rumors I keep hearing that Charlotte's going to take the time off, and if Ronda must become champion, have that be Ronda, Sasha, again, like they were in 2019, because I feel like that's where she belongs in, not in a tag team. And what do you think about that?
Yeah, so good question. Luke Kelly, I'll throw it to you first. Where are you at on that?
Yeah, they've got a lot of ways to go here. It's clear that they don't value the women's tag team championships all that much. They would not have gotten to be on the WrestleMania show if it was not two nights. I love Naomi, so I'm glad that they found a way to get her on the show and have her win a championship there. But I just don't know that they care enough. I guess it doesn't bother me that much that they'll miss a non-Big Four pay-per-view and they'll save this for TV. I'm sure that both Sasha and Naomi would disagree with that and they would rather be on a bigger stage. And they're not wrong. Like, I love Naomi and I tolerate Sasha. And Natty is fine. And I love Shayna Baszler too. So, and a nice match tonight. You're not going to make them care about a championship they don't want to care about. You wanted to see that happen with the Cruiserweight Championship, the three times that they tried it. And they killed it every time. I don't know that they're going to kill this championship, but I think that it's way on the back burner and it's way more of a TV thing. And I'm okay with that as long as it makes the Big Four. I understand in a large roster that people have to take their turns. So I'm kind of talking big picture. So I'm sure there's some stuff that I miss here, but I am looking forward to this match. I'm actually looking forward to this match kind of more than I'm looking forward to a lot of the matches on Backlash, which I don't feel bad about because I think this will be better than a lot of those. And so I'm psyched about it. I think it's good to have TV feud, but the issue here is not this match not being on pay-per-view. The issue is these titles not being thought of as pay-per-view worthy.
Yeah, well said. And I agree. Like, not every star needs to be on every pay-per-view, especially B-level like this. And this show, if this thing is 4 hours, like, you know, WWE is crazier than everybody already thinks they are. This is a B show. It should be a tight, you know, 2.5 to 3 hour show. And I think it's okay to leave this match off and, you know, hype it up in a big way for SmackDown. Give it, like, you know, either the main event slot or just a lot of hype. I think it could help pull a good number, especially coming out of the pay-per-view. The thing with the tag titles is, and I, like, on the surface, if you would ask me, you know, when Sasha and Naomi formed their tag team, I would have said, this is nuts. Like, you're taking one of your top stars in Sasha Banks and kind of relegating her to the tag team division or the women's tag team championship division. So, and it's like, that's, I think, on the surface, an issue, because yes, you want your top stars like Sasha Banks, like, doing single stuff, having the big matches with Ronda and Charlotte and, you know, whoever. Like, but it is a self-fulfilling prophecy as well. Like, if they are actually trying, and there's no indication that this is the case yet, because Vince is going to have to go a long way to prove out that he actually cares about these titles. But the first step in doing that, into making championships relevant, is putting them around the waist of very credible and star level players. And Sasha Banks is that. And so it's going to take a while to get these titles out of the depths of where they are. I don't think you're going to see this through, but at the same time, if you're going to make an attempt at that, like, you gotta put the belts around the waist of people that matter. Sasha Banks and Naomi are absolutely that. So we'll have to see, like, ask me again in 6 months. But you know, it's one of those things where it's like, if you want the titles to matter, you got to try to make them matter. And my guess is Vince McMahon would be yelling at us right now going, hey, Sasha Banks is WWE Women's Tag Team Champion. What else do you want? And it's like, yeah, you know, there's history there, Vince, but I'd get that argument, Kelly. Kyle, back to you.
So when Sasha was champion in 2012 with Bayley, that was entertaining. I enjoyed that. That was more entertaining because she was also a heel too. So that's probably the other part of it. So that's why I assume they made it entertaining. And with this, it's just Sasha's not really talking too much. She's not really doing anything credible right now, like Sasha did with Bayley 2 years ago. So maybe that's still other difference of it. Then I guess for me, Charlotte also needs to lose that title badly. You know, people badly wanted Becky to lose the championship. Charlotte needs to badly lose that championship. I don't know if I don't think Ronda's the answer neither, because Ronda's not all that entertaining. SmackDown is not a good show. SmackDown is not a good show. With Ray's not doing anything, him being double champion, does it help? And with Charlotte being champion and the speed with Ronda, is it helping neither? And the lack of credible names too. This is not. They really need to do something with SmackDown because it's not working. At least for me, it has been working for a while since really the draft back in October. So I don't know what they need to do, but they need to change it badly fast, because Raw is way entertaining. There's some problems with Raw sometimes, but for the most part, it's been watchable, and I've been enjoying Raw more than SmackDown. I've been saying this for weeks. So, but that's it. Thanks for my call.
Thanks for making it, Kyle. Good to talk to you. Have a good, have a really good weekend. Let's go next to 609. 609, state your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Mike from Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Hey, Mike. Good to hear from you. What'd you think of the show?
It was okay. I mean, it's not like Raw. Raw is just, you know, the better show nowadays. SmackDown, it's not that good. I mean, you get a few good segments. You get a couple good matches, but it's not good like Raw is, you know, and it's a 2-hour show, you know, so, I mean, that's good, but there's just a lot of filler, I feel, in SmackDown, like compared to Raw, where it was the complete opposite before the draft, if you guys remember. I think Raw was just so much filler back then, and SmackDown was just a packed 2-hour show, if you guys remember that.
Yeah, and I think, too, man, like, you know, when you take Roman Reigns out, like, in terms of doing something significant, I know he's on the show, but, you know, when you take him, like, when he doesn't have a singles program going on, like, you really see kind of the holes in SmackDown that he patches up because what he's been doing has been so good and so effective. And so, you know, these last 4 or 5 weeks or whatever, that's been the case. He hasn't had that thing. They haven't had, you know, 2-3 segments of Roman Reigns and his challenger stuff to go to and to lean on. And so, you know, some of the rest of the show is exposed when it otherwise wouldn't be if Reigns is on full display. So, yeah, I think it's an astute point.
Yeah, and to follow up on the Sasha Naomi talk. Yeah, Kelly, I'm actually like the opposite. Like, I love Sasha. I like Naomi, but Sasha, you know, I'm a diehard fan of her. She's just amazing in the ring. She's the best women's wrestler in the company, you know, period. Like, she's better than Charlotte. You know, people overrate Charlotte in the ring. I mean, Charlotte's amazing in the ring, but she's not quite as good as Sasha is. You know, that, you know, I mean, I've watched, and Wade, I remember Wade talking about this. Like, last year there was a match, I think it was last year, I think it was Charlotte versus Peyton Royce. And I remember everybody saying how horrible that match was. But then, like, a few weeks later, there was a match with Sasha and Peyton Royce, and Sasha made her look great. I mean, the match was really solid, you know. So that proves to you right there, Sasha is the best female wrestler in the company, you know. So, like, that's how I view Sasha as. Like, she's just great. I think she just deserves better in this. I want to see her against
the Rowdies. So, Mike, let me ask you, man. Let me ask you, as a big Sasha fan, like,
yeah,
where are you on her right now, being in the, you know, women's tag division instead of at the top of the singles division?
Right. Well, obviously, you know, I want you know, the best for her. I wish she was going for the title now. I wish, you know, Rousey would beat Charlotte, and then we would get Rousey Sasha inside the cell in June. That would be freaking amazing. Like, they would kill it inside of a cell, Rousey and Sasha. I know they would. So I don't like really too much, you know, where she is right now, but I'm happy she's getting TV time, and I'm happy, you know, she's not doing, you know, silly stuff like Dana Brooke is with the 24/7 title. You know, 'cause remember that when they had Sasha involved in the wedding and all that, like that was bad. Like, she belonged to, like, nowhere near there. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I could tolerate it if it's going to go somewhere. I mean, I think Vince entitles for the woman to a point, because I think that's why he put them on Sasha and Naomi to begin with, so they can bring some more meaning to them. But they just need to find good opponents for them. Like Sasha said in the media interview, you know, bring some of the ladies from NXT UK over, and we can have some good matches with them. You know, because she even said in the interview,
yeah,
like, her and Naomi just need opponents. They need good opponents. You know, so Sasha,
right,
in the midst of,
right,
that, you know?
But, yeah, no, well said. I mean, yeah, interesting to get your take. Hey, any other SmackDown thoughts, Mike? We have our on-site correspondent waiting here, and he's got a small window, so I want to make sure to get to him. I definitely don't want to cut you off and can come back to you after,
right,
the fact if you've got more points, but just one quick thing here.
Yeah, I just had a question about something I was wondering with Bayley fitting in and all this. But, like, yeah, if I'm Bayley, I'm thinking, what about me? Like, Sasha, I'm your best friend. Like, what about me? Like, you're saying Naomi's like your best friend in the world. What about me? So I'm thinking, did Bailey get involved somehow in an angle with them? Does, if something doesn't seem right here, because Sasha's always saying how Naomi's like her best friend, but what about Bailey?
Yeah, well, I mean, they had their feud, you know, and
right.
I see Bailey coming back on Raw. You know, I think Bailey Bianca Belair
right.
is something you definitely want to do. So that's kind of where I think they'd go with her, Kelly. Do you see a path for her on SmackDown, or are you with me that Raw kind of makes the most sense at this point?
It does make the most sense, but I think that she's going to flourish anywhere she goes. I don't want to lose our – I don't know how much time we have on our on-site guy. I want to say to our caller that we actually agree more than you think, because I recognize that Sasha's the better wrestler than Naomi. It's not that.
Charlotte, you mean?
I meant Naomi because I said that I love Naomi. I tolerate Sasha. So that's what I meant. I'm perfectly willing to say that Sasha is probably the best in-ring female they have on the roster. And they have Io Shirai, they have Kaylee Ray. They've got some really, really good talent that is not on the main roster. And that's not my issue. My issue with her has always been her ability to, to connect as a babyface, I just hate her on the mic. I hate her on the mic so much. I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be nice, but she's garbage.
You don't like the laugh.
I love the laugh.
Oh,
the laugh. Mike, no. The laugh definitely exists.
It's better than Seth Rollins' laugh. Maybe it's because I'm biased.
Oh, my God,
Sasha,
it is. You're absolutely right there. Yep.
That's not saying much, though.
A low bar. So
yes.
I just wanted to say we agree. Like, I
– Right.
really, really, really value Sasha, and I actually like where she is in elevating this championship if it's not her turn to be in the women's championship picture. And I can dig that for a while, even a couple years at a time, and I'm sure it's frustrating for the worker, but I can dig that happening for a while at a time if you're going to take turns in the championship picture.
Yeah. Mike, thanks a bunch. A really great call. Appreciate it. Make sure to call again.
Thanks a lot, guys. Okay. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. Fun call.
Cool. All right. We will go now to our on-site correspondent. It's a familiar voice. Hopefully he had a good time at the show tonight with his family. PW Torch contributor, Frank Pediani. Frank, hello.
Zach, Kelly, what's going on, my brothers? Good to talk to you guys tonight.
Yeah, man, we're glad that you were able to spare a few minutes for us. We do have some questions, some specific and some broad. We'll pick your brain here. First and foremost, what was the crowd like tonight? As far as like hot, cold, sellout, not a sellout. Give us kind of like the overarching, you know, in building rundown.
I would categorize it as hot. I wouldn't say blazing hot, but I would say into the show. So they tarped off on the hard camera side, the upper deck, you know. So, WWE tries to make those look full. So, you know, on that side, all of those seats were tarped off, and I was kind of looking around, and you could see, like, pockets of empty seats. Now, the weather absolutely stinks here in New York today. In fact, I came in today. I did a Fort Lauderdale turn, and I came in, and they actually, like, they routed us, like, deep water, like, deeper than we normally do to get away from it. So, because there was a whole bunch of crap coming through. But anyway, it was rainy going in, and it was even worse going out. So I don't know if people decided to stay home and whatnot. But the people that were there were into it, and they were excited. And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about, you know, pops and heat and all that stuff. But I would say for the most whole, they were into what was going on tonight.
Okay, interesting. All right, so if we'll start first with Lacey Evans. You know, did you guys see in the building the video package in the lead up to what was her appearance? Did they play that in the building or no?
They did play it in the building. Nobody could give two rat's asses about it. It was just dead as a doornail. Now, I do have to stipulate that the concession service was terrible tonight. Like, they had not enough people, and they basically ran out of everything. So I don't know if people were scrambling and there just wasn't enough people, like, in the arena at the time. Because, you know, listen, everybody picks their spots to go get the beers and the snacks and everything like that. So I don't know if that was a factor. But when the video played, nobody cared. It was dead. It started to pick up towards the end of the package when he was talking about, you know, being proud and, you know, whatever she was saying. I was kind of like trying to like focus on my kids and watch the video, so I was kind of back and forth. but, you know, like towards the end, people were starting to clap and stuff like that. So there was mild interest at that point. But on the whole, yeah, you can hear a pin drop for the majority of the video.
And what about when she actually came out, though?
Eh, men's and men's. It was okay. It wasn't, you know, I mean, she got some reaction. It wasn't nothing, but it wasn't this triumphant, you know, appearance. And by the way, so you're telling me a babyface requests that the crowd show proper respect
thank you
for her when she comes out?
Yeah, so that's what I'm leading you down the road to this question, because do you think that they did they have a lukewarm reaction to her because the audience was confused because of that line that you just said and it being inconsistent mm-hmm. with kind of how she's been presented, or did the audience just not care either way? Because to me, it was jarring to hear that line of like, wait a minute, that's not a babyface. What do they want us to do for her right now? Was it confusion in the crowd or just, you know, not caring?
I think it's a mixture of both. I really do. I mean, like I said, there were some people at the end that were getting it, but there were people just kind of like looking around, and I don't know if it's a matter of detachment or, you know, confusion to your point. It might be more to your point. You know, because there was even something that she was saying, like, you know, what are these superstars in the back going to do to me? How are they going to stop me and this and that? And it's like, that is not a babyface presentation. So I think there might be some confusion. And there's a term I'm looking for that I'll think of later, and I'll message you out of regret because I'm like, damn it, I should have said that on air. But anyway, I digress. You know me, Zach. You know me by now. I always think of things like 2 hours later. But anyway, that's...
No, this is good because, like, on TV, just so you know, like, there was, I don't know, and Kelly, chime in, but I felt that there was, like, they enhanced that reaction greatly because, there was a pop, like, on the show, but I was just like, when you watch the crowd, I didn't think that was there.
I'll chime in. I am starting to think it's possible that Samantha Irvin was saying what she was saying, and it wasn't supposed to make TV. Like, it's so weird to me that I would be willing to believe that this is something that they did to, because they do that. They warm up the crowd. They prime the crowd to say certain things. So there isn't this dissonance between what they're performing and what they're trying to tell and what people are responding to. I'd be willing to believe it if they said, hey, we did that accidentally. Even if they're lying to me, I'm like, okay, sure.
You can buy it.
We'll give you another chance.
Yeah. Because it was that out of place for sure. Okay, Frank, let's pivot here a little bit. WrestleMania Backlash Sunday, we saw some development in really three key places, Charlotte and Ronda. We saw some stuff between Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss, and then you had the main event segment with Drew McIntyre and the Usos, Drew McIntyre, RK-Bro, Roman Reigns, and the Usos. Out of those three, all matches for WrestleMania Backlash, which angle tonight got the best reaction in the house?
So I can't speak to the Madcap Moss thing. That ties into the concession stand thing. I was out there for about 30 minutes, so I didn't see the Sasha Bates match. I did see what took place between the Sasha Baszler match. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I didn't see the Madcap Moss angle, but asking my wife about it, she didn't think it was much, and the kids didn't talk about it. So they didn't, I get the sense that that was really a nothing segment, but I'll watch it back just to, make sure I got it all down. I would say between the two, one didn't really stick out more than the other, but the main event, quote, segment was definitely the hotter of the angles between that and Charlotte and Ronda. Even though Ronda got a really good pop, I would venture to say it was the pop of the night, although I reserve the right to change my answer before you let me go because I have to think about it a little bit. But RK-Bro got a really good reaction, and oddly enough, so did Roman. I mean, he got a pop. I don't know how it came across on TV, but he got cheers.
We caught it. Even when Riddle is talking down Roman, even when Orton is talking down Roman, he gets some boots.
That definitely
was there. Kelly, jump in with some questions.
Hey, how you doing? We haven't talked since we were talking Royal Rumble, I don't think.
That was a great couple of weeks, man. I was so happy we did that, and that was a really good time. I was glad you did those shows with me.
So I know that it was kind of a mixed bag for you to go to this show. Overall production, are you glad you went, and does it compare favorably? Because I know you weren't like overly excited about this one in comparison to some, but was it a good time? And did it remind you of why you liked going to these live shows, or did it remind you of how bad the booking is these days?
A little bit of everything, to be perfectly honest. So real quick, I was posting in a Facebook group that I ain't going to WWE tonight, and I think that was my way of trying to convince myself that I didn't want to go, because I actually really didn't want to go. And I wanted to take the kids because it was a perfect opportunity. You know, it's Friday night. It's not a school night, this and that. So, like, I'm texting my wife when I landed in Lauderdale. I'm like, okay, I want to go. Let's figure this out, you know. And make a long story short, we got the babysitter and everything, and it all worked out. As far as the show goes, I'm glad we went. I mean, production-wise, it was a WWE show. You really get to see live, as opposed to being at home, all the little things that, you know, A, you like about their production, and you can't stand, like, the camera, the shaking camera. Like, you could see it. You could see the guy standing at the ring and, like, on the punches and the kicks or whatever, you could see him going up and down. And it's just jarring. It just sticks out, you know. And even, like, I was kind of watching, like, around the ring during the match just to see, like, little tells and stuff like that. And you could see, like, security guards moving to certain spots. And that was kind of a tell that something was going to happen. Like, when they did the Kofi spot, I think it was Kofi. I think Sheamus took him down outside. You could tell it was coming because a couple of guys went to that area. And the same thing with the high dive. I think it was Woods that did the high dive into like the timekeepers area. And I'm assuming they went to break after that. Am I right? Because it just felt like they
it was Kofi. It was Kofi, but they did. Onto the announce table, and yes, that or not the time, not the table, but off to the barricade.
The barricade
was the commercial. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was the commercial. Okay, that's what I figured. So, you know, it was those things, you know, and it was like things that you just kind of – I've gotten to a point, Kelly, in my life, like I've kind of grown a little numbness to WWE stuff because I just know it's what they do, even if I don't agree with it. Like Aaliyah comes out at 7:58, and I'm looking at my wife like, why is Aaliyah coming out now? And I'm like, oh, wait, she's got to be in the opening match. You know, and lo and behold, she was in the opener. And obviously she didn't get an entrance on TV. That was easy to figure out. You know, so it's like those things. And it's kind of a tell to you that, yeah, this one is dead as a doornail because, you know, when something like that happens, you know, and especially the fact that they advertised the match and they didn't deliver it, you know, you could tell that, you know, she's basically dead in the water. So, you know, that's something that reminds me of WWE booking to your question. You know, just the normal stuff. I mean, entrances and then standing in the ring. You know, Sammy was in there for a little while. RK-Bro was in there. It feels like it was like 10 minutes. You know, and they were just kind of standing.
Sasha had to be in the ring a long time, right?
Yeah. Yes. That was actually when I went because we got there. So I got home. I was in rush hour traffic coming home. So I didn't get home until about 7. So the kids had something. They were just getting home at the time. So it was a rush job to get to the Coliseum. That's the Coliseum is only 15 minutes from my house. But, you know, we had no time to stop, you know, because, like, I don't know what the parking is going to be like over there. I don't know what the line is going to be like getting in. So, you know, if it was like, you know what I mean? Like, if we had time to stop. So I had to get up, and I had to go to the stands at that point. But it did feel like a long time. It felt like, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that was actually the longest wait in between segments. And it felt like there was a long wait after Corbin came out. It felt like that was a good 5 to 10 minutes. I don't know if you guys picked up on that.
Every time Corbin comes out, it's a literal lifetime for me before anything happens.
Oh my God.
Awesome.
So Frank, who got like, I'm assuming the answer is Roman Reigns. So outside of Roman Reigns, who projected as the biggest star on the show, heel or babyface?
Let's see. Rhonda, RK-Bro. I'll give the nudge to Rhonda just because she got the loudest pop. RK-Bro got a really good pop too. Maybe I should say RK-Bro because I think with Rhonda, I think she was the first like top baby face out there. And naturally the first baby face is get the biggest reaction. And, you know, after Aaliyah got decked by Charlotte and she was doing her thing, you know, everybody knew Rhonda was, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Rhonda's coming out. So it was just the anticipation. So that's why that gets a little bit of an asterisk for me. I'd have to give it to RK-Bro. Because you got to figure now, you know, RK-Bro is coming out at 9:40, 9:45. People are tired. You know, they've been through the Sami Shinsuke match. They've been through the Lacey stuff. You know what I mean? So, you know, for them to get that reaction at that point indicates to me that they're really over. So, yeah, final answer, Regis, RK-Bro.
Okay, cool. Anything else to note? I want to get into what happened after the show here because you had a pretty interesting dark match that we'll get to. But any final thoughts on SmackDown that we need to know about? I'm looking at my list of things here. I think we hit the big topics, but anything else kind of in your notes that, hey, the people must know?
Yeah, I mean, during, I'm just looking at some of the stuff. Did you get my video the Pat McAfee entrance. I sent that to you. Did you get a chance to see that? Because
I did.
He got a really good reaction. And I thought it was a very telling comment that my wife and my oldest, Caitlin, told me that they really enjoyed Pat McAfee, you know, with him doing his dancing and stuff like that. And, oh, yes, I'm glad I brought up Pat McAfee. During two matches, they actually did commentary during the commercial break. So it was during the Sasha Shayna match. Even though I wasn't watching that, I was on the concession line. They actually did commentary during the match, and then Cole would say, all right, it's time to go back to Fox. So that was your tell that they were at break. And they did the same thing during the Sami Shinsuke match. They didn't do it during the tables match for some reason. I guess maybe because the match was kind of dead at that point, so there really wasn't much to talk about. And you could tell they were in break. Obviously, we were on the same page when you know, they went to commercials. So I thought the commentary during the commercial breaks was interesting.
How did that get over in the crowd? Were people into that?
Yeah, people just listen. I don't think people had really opinions on it one way or another. But I'll tell you that my wife thought it was cool. You know, she thought it was cool that they at least did that. So at least you knew that they were in break. So that was interesting. I don't know if this made TV. They Steve and Cody were advertising the Broken Skull Sessions, as I have my Broken Skull IPA here. Steve was doing a word association with Cody, and he said, okay, I'll name you a wrestler. You give me a word that comes to mind. So he says Roman. Cody says over. I was like, that's interesting. Edge, underrated. Becky, lean, because she's a – yeah, Edge is definitely not underrated. Not these days. But that's another podcast. Becky Lean, like she's a lean, mean fighting machine, and Bianca Gear, because she has really great in-ring gear. It was kind of interesting the way that was presented.
Yeah.
I wish I remembered what he said about Seth, because that would be the obvious one, and I completely forgot. I asked my wife, like, what did he say about the one I needed? But anyway, they were doing that. They did a sign of the night thing during the commercial break. One had a sign about let's go Charlotte Flair. I thought it was interesting that they pointed that out. And then they did a thing. I think this was in between the Corbin entrance and the actual Happy Talk segment, that they did a crowd interaction thing, and they were playing DX music, and they were like trying to get people to, I think they were trying to get people to do, like, DX inflections and stuff like that. Like, they weren't trying to get the kids to say, suck it, or anything, but it was just a little crowded. So I thought that was interesting, you know, to try to get. I mean, I'm sensing on a Friday night, you got to figure you got some kids out there. Obviously, we had ours. So it's kind of more of a family crowd. So I think they tried to do things to involve, you know, the families and the kids and stuff like that, which I thought was really nice. So when we get to the dark segment, there's a really cool thing that we'll talk about.
Well, yeah, let's go there. Let's go there. Talk about that, and then we'll let you get going. Yeah. So you and I were talking offline about it. You got Cody versus Seth, right?
We got Cody versus Seth, and I completely forgot they advertised that locally. And the conversation that you speak of is that was the banner that I sent you, which had a picture of Cody and Seth on it. I was like, that's interesting. Like, why are we seeing that? You know, that's when you told me about the potential dark match. So they were advertising that locally, and they pretty much went right to it. Like, as Drew and RK-Bro were going back, Rollins' music hit. This was like at 9:59, so they weren't wasting any time. I don't want to say the crowd was into Seth. The crowd was into the, you know, whoa. Like, they're more into that than anything else. But, you know, something like that's going to engage them. So, you know, they were definitely that. Crowd was very into Cody. Crowd was very into Cody. So, I mean, if we were including that, that would be a serious contender for Pop of the Night. By the way, I wish I took my kids like 3 years ago. Do you remember that time? You guys remember when they weren't using any fireworks or pyro at all?
Yes, yes. It was forbidden, right.
Forbidden. I mean, that stuff is loud, man. I mean, they might want to consider, like, throwing it back a little bit because it was, like, it even got me a little bit.
Well,
so, anyway, that's just, it is what it is. But, like, you know, because they hit Cody's music and, you know, like, there were, like, two loud bangs, and I was just like, man, like, I jumped out of my chair, but my younger daughter didn't like it so much, so you know, I had to do a little consoling there, so doing my fatherly duties, but
putting the band hat on, yep.
Yeah, you know the deal. You guys know the deal. You are parents of multiple girls, so you know the boat in which I sit here. Match went about, oh God, I want to say it went about 15 minutes, which was actually kind of interesting. I mean, I didn't know what they were going to do, but it went about 15 minutes, and they advertised it as a WrestleMania rematch. Like, they didn't even say that, and it would, you know, make sense that they wouldn't say, like, this is a match that's going to take place Sunday, but you're getting it tonight too. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So they talked about it being a WrestleMania rematch. You know, like, the people in the building are not supposed to pretend or are supposed to pretend that it's not taking place in 2 days. But anyway, that's besides the point. Match was okay. It wasn't anything great. There were actually a couple of clunky spots, a little surprising for those two. But a lot of pedigree attempts. Seth actually hit a pedigree. I think Seth started, missed it. Cody tried it. And then Seth actually got one in. So, you know, a lot of Triple H homages going on there. Seth actually did the Dusty, you know, the punches, and then he, like, winds his hands. So he did that. That got boos from the crowd. Cody, I think, kicked out of a pedigree. No, Seth actually hit a pedigree, and I think he did the DX chop for the crowd. That's what it was.
Okay.
And that got a little bit. That got a little bit of a negative reaction. And then Cody hit three crossroads. Do you guys remember WrestleMania? Did Cody hit three crossroads at WrestleMania? I feel like he did. Or maybe it was like two or something like that.
I think he did. I think it was three, yeah.
Yeah, it was multiple, right? So they did that. That was the first thing I thought about. He hit three. Like, he hit one, he held on to Seth, hit another, held on to Seth, hit a third, and then got the pin. The crowd popped for the pin. I mean, they were into it. And then after the match, you know, he's like, hey, guys, you know, it's been a while since I've been here. Been 6 years, you know. I really love you guys. I'm happy to be here and all that stuff. It actually felt kind of genuine, you know, and I thought that was cool, you know.
Cool.
And then he spotted a kid in the crowd. I guess it was it's my birthday or something like that. So he actually went out, grabbed the kid. He's like, I know this is against the rules, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. And I guess he went over, I guess he asked the kid's parents or whatever, if this is all right. So he grabbed the kid, put him onto the ring apron, and I think Adam Pearce came out or something, and he led the crowd in a happy birthday. I thought that was really nice. I thought that was really nice for the kid. That kid's going to remember that for the rest of his life. And he's like, yeah, guys, I can't wait to be back here again. I know everybody wants to go home, so I'll send you guys home. Have a great night. Thanks for coming out and all that. So he was, you know, it's I know something like that kind of draws mixed feelings because, like, the performers really shouldn't be doing that or the wrestlers shouldn't really be doing that. But I thought it was actually kind of genuine, and I was fine with it. So it was a nice way to end the night.
That's great, man. Well, awesome report. Really appreciate you taking the time to you know, give us the lowdown on what happened in there. Appreciate it, and we'll let you get back to get that cold beverage and your family, man. Thanks, Frank.
Oh, my pleasure, Zach. Good talking to you, Kelly. Good talking to you again, and we'll talk to you,
you
guys
too,
man.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Frank. Appreciate it. Frank Pediani, everybody, live, our on-site correspondent. You can check out Frank's VIP audio show then and now. It's a really fun show. I've been on it a couple times. Kelly's been on it a couple times. A bunch of others from the Torch family have been there, and other guests. But he's, you know, going backwards and watching, you know, old Royal Rumbles, old WrestleManias, and so on and so forth. So just a blast to listen to. So go VIP, pwtorch.com/govip, and check out Frank's show. He also writes the primers for AEW each week on pwtorch.com. So you can check his work out there as well. Thank you, Frank. We'll finish up tonight with, I gotta get the jingle ready so Javier doesn't yell at me, but we will start with Javier, or finish with Javier. All right, great, Javier. Hey, welcome to the show, man. Happy Friday.
Hey, Zach. Hey, Gilly. How's it going?
It's going good. Do we leave anything left for you to discuss on SmackDown?
Oh yeah, the best segment of the night. Sami Zayn and Paul Heyman.
Yes. That was good.
Far and away. I mean, it was just, you know, I love the fact that Sami Zayn thinks that he's working Reigns and Heyman when they're in fact working him. The chemistry between the two of them was great. It felt like it was an ad lib, but I loved Heyman when Braxton walked away. Don't leave me alone with him. That felt like an ad lib. It was great timing. I thought it was great. That was the highlight of the show for me.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It was very good. I mean, Sami Zayn just continues to just be a gem to watch on a week to week basis, and it's strange to say that, I think, Kelly, because like he's not ever positioned as this viable threat top guy champion. But what he does is compelling in the ring, backstage, on the microphone, in the ring. Like, he really is, you know, a jack of all trades and clicking with what he's being asked to do. And, I, you know, the silver lining in that is, okay, you know, yes, he's not this credible competitive wrestler right now. But I don't know that it would take all that much to, you know, flip the switch on that if WWE wanted to. I think he's, you know, has a body of work right now that is over in whatever kind of world it's in. And so, yeah, I agree with Javier. I think that was a highlight of the show. But Kelly, talk Sami Zayn a bit, and any notes that you had on that segment in particular.
I feel exactly the same. Every time he's on there, it's no matter where he is on the card, it's a highlight. And he did his stuff with Brock. They trust him to put him in a program with Brock. And even if it's just TV, that's clear where they see him. He does the kind of work that pay-per-view major matches or not, he'll remain employed forever. I just don't understand how you could even let somebody go like this, who brings value to wherever he is in the card. I also want to call attention to the unsung hero of this scene, Caleb Braxton, who, you know, you bring up, they're not bringing these people up at random. Caleb, for me, does, like, she's quietly good in a lot of scenes, but her interplay with both guys involved here and the way that she knows she has to, like, when she's talking to Paul Heyman, just a little bit of disgust, but also reverence, and I got to do my job. I really, really like what she brings to these segments, too. I think that this segment's great for all the reasons you mentioned, and the addition of Caleb Braxton, who was awesome in this segment as well.
Yeah, she really found a good new, you know, balancing act to, like, for a little disdain, a little, you know, journalist wanting to do her job, a little like you said, a little kind of looking at Paul Heyman as somebody very important on the show. So yeah, she balances all that really, really well, and it makes for pretty good TV. Javier, back to you.
Yeah, and really subtle facial reactions, like, you know, just gives a little bit of a smirk when, you know, she's got him on the back foot, that sort of thing, you know, slight raise of an eyebrow, that, you know, little things that sell the emotions that they're going for, that you don't have to, like, overplay. But, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed all that. And that's concerning the fact that with the first week, I was like, I don't know if I want – Zane, you know, because the week of the Lumberjack match, it felt like he was playing Reigns and that Reigns allowed it, but I'm glad that they kind of course corrected this week. So if they do this where they're playing him, you know, it might be a fun ride there. Don't know where it ends up because I don't think you're going to have a match between the two of them, but
yeah. I mean, I think it can be this just kind of this ongoing thing, you know, like that. Yeah, probably won't pay off in a match, but it's kind of like a central, not a central story, but like an underlying story week to week, that could be pretty, as you said, pretty fun to watch.
And they can have their cake and eat it too. They're like, if it goes to a match, all the better.
Right.
Yeah, they can do it if they want to. It's probably not in the cards right now, but Reigns in his role being as he is, they could use an extra match. So if they get one and that's their, what are the names of all the damn pay-per-views now? But if this is like a dead of summer pay-per-view match, I'm sure they'd be thrilled.
Yeah, for sure. What else, Javier?
The other thing I liked was the Rousey, the Rousey Charlotte, you know, just brawl that they had, because I think that it needed something, because the beat the clock challenge and stuff like that, it felt like it needed to move, like, you know, another step. So I actually like that. I'm thinking that if this does go one more, I think Rousey, I mentioned this on the primer, but I didn't go super in depth. But I think that Rousey ends up winning, and I think that the way they can get to another match is if Drew Gulak is his new job is referee. So the referee in charge of the match gets knocked out, and then Gulak is the one who comes out with the microphone, and, you know, that's when Charlotte quits, and then Charlotte has an excuse of, you know, oh, I didn't quit. That was just this idiot who doesn't know what he's doing, setting up for a although the only reason I would you know, doubt that is because WWE is in the habit of starting their feuds with a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if you go that route, you can get there for sure. To me, though, I don't know. That finish is almost like too just not serious enough for an I quit. You can play the card for sure, but I think if you do, my guess is you're going to get a lot of eye rolls on Sunday night. That's just my gut. But it would make sense given the fact that, you know, Drew Gulak for some reason has been a part of this up to this point. So yeah, we'll see. Kelly, what do you think?
When you bring Drew into this, I just don't. I don't know what they're doing with him. I think that he's made himself valuable to this company here. Would they build him up to be an out for one of these two performers in this match? I don't know. I think I need more time to ruminate on that to even believe that could be believable. Go ahead, Javier.
Not as an out. I mean, he like, as a straight, you know, you play up straight up that he did his job as a referee. It's just that then on SmackDown, Charlotte complains that it's not legit, you know, so, you know, because she's the heel. So, like, I mean, he does the legit job of a referee,
you know, and you know, not a screw job or anything, and she legitimately quits. But then, you know, on SmackDown, she says, "Oh no, that he misunderstood me, so he shouldn't have called the match off. So it's his fault."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can buy them doing that with him because he's not otherwise. He doesn't otherwise have anything going on. So if he's there for, I'm shocked that Drew is still there, to be honest, with all the people that they've gotten rid of. He's massively talented. Like, this is not a comment on his talent. He's got that. But I'm surprised he's still there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could see them giving him something like this.
Javier, anything else before we wrap up here tonight?
Well, just wanted to agree with Kelly on the Felcher Banks. I feel exactly like you do. the only person I think I dislike more than her is Naomi, so I think we disagree on that one.
we definitely do. I love her.
But, yeah, so I will give her this most recent run, she's done a little bit more to impress me. It's been like the stuff that she's done before, the fact that she retired those stupid running kicks is like, you know, made a hell of a difference. But, you know, she's actually, you know, been, you know, I haven't hated her as much since she's, you know, this recent run that started with her and Sonya Deville. But prior to that, I think she was my least favorite act on the on the women's side of the roster. But yeah,
you got Carmella and Lacey just right there to be picked, and
I
Naomi.
Costa's optimist is not the. I'm pulling for Lacey Evans. there's something about her characters that I like. I'm just hoping that at some point it'll click. This is like the fifth, you know, for the fifth time, but
I think we're all pulling for. I just don't know. I just don't know if they know what they want out of her. It's bizarre.
Yeah, because I mean, I liked the direction that she was going on when she was in NXT. And I think that, you know, she was like, they needed to finish putting together the character. Because I know she went through like various like different iterations. And, you know, things felt like they were starting to click when they called her up. And then like, she never felt like she was ever finished. And then because she never felt like she was ever finished, they just turned her back and forth, you know, willy nilly, hoping something would stick. And I think that, you know, I kind of wish that, you know, I was hoping that this would be a good new beginning for her. But, yeah, that whole – I mean, they essentially said she wants you to acknowledge her. And I'm like, that's Reigns' gimmick. That's just not, you know, it's just weird. but, yeah. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I had. I already sent you the primer, so for Backlash, not a fun one to write because I did not really care about Backlash. there's not really much, you know, the swerve from the uniting the tag team titles to a six-man tag. I think that was a pretty much killed any like interest I had in it. Although the Ronda Rousey thing raised it a little bit, but yeah, it was not a fun one to write.
yeah, but I'll come in here while we were on the air, so I will be getting that up sometime tomorrow. So make sure everybody check that out at pwtorch.com. Javier, thank you.
Yeah. All right. So have a good night, guys. Good talking to you again, Kelly.
Cheers, man. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Javier. Have a good weekend. All right, we'll put a bow on it right there, Kelly. That I think going through my notes here, we hit on everything. We got the on-site correspondent that we needed. So thanks very much to the callers. Thanks very much to Frank for being our on-site correspondent. That was great. Wade is going to be on the VIP side of things a little bit later tonight on the Wade Keller Hotline. So you can check out his SmackDown thoughts by going VIP, pwtorch.com/govip. I'm PW Torch Assistant Editor Zach Haydorn. If you go VIP, you can check out my weekly audio show on the Canvas talking about all things the art of wrestling. So we take a weekly current event and just look at the art within it. It's pay-per-view week, so we'll do it on the Canvas pay-per-view preview for WrestleMania Backlash. What we do on those shows is we basically go match by match and we grade kind of the art of the build to every single one. So that will hit the VIP feeds this weekend. Also, make sure you're checking out our new YouTube channel, PW Torch on YouTube. We've got daily news wires that go up there. Tyler and I are doing a weekly YouTube show, Fireside Chat, that's there. I've got a couple rant segments on there as well. Wade's got some material there. Robert Vallejos has a new show that's up there, and much more to come, too. So do us a favor. Go and check us out. Daily new content. Like, subscribe. We would very much appreciate it. And also make pwtorch.com a part of your day for your wrestling fix. News every single day, show reports on all the big wrestling shows per week, hits and misses columns, et cetera, more and more. A great contributor team working on some really cool stuff throughout the week at pwtorch.com. So make that part of your day. Kelly, always a blast to talk wrestling with you, man. Take the floor here, though, and talk all things NXT, PWT Talks NXT, and all the other cool stuff you do on a week-to-week basis for the Torch.
NXT still exists. I don't know how long that will be.
For now.
but it exists right now, and I cover it. I'm Kelly Wells. You can find me all over social media at Spooky Milk or at SpookyMilk.games. Yeah, I'm covering NXT Modern, and it can be a trudge, but it's got more in common with NXT at the beginning of the network than it does with NXT Black and Gold. So it's this bizarre thing where people say this isn't the NXT, this isn't real NXT, and it is, but Black and Gold was not real NXT as much as we all loved it, and I certainly did. So lots of pain there, but some of the pain is resulting in some real good talent being brought up to the main roster. You can also listen to me NXT 8 years back with Tom Staupp, who is no longer on NXT Modern, but we're doing on VIP NXT 8 years back stuff from the beginnings of NXT, and then we talk movies as well. So if you want to hear two nerds talk about movies, and I know you do, you can do that there. So otherwise, here I am, lots of guest appearances here, and thank you, Zach, for having me.
Yeah, it's been a blast. Appreciate it. You can follow our brand on Twitter at PWTorch. You can follow me on Twitter at ZHaydornTorch. Once again, thanks everybody for listening. For Kelly, I'm Zach, and we'll catch you guys next time.